Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter /X at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at ThomasBryce2017, for the other scheduling of all the other shows on the radio. So, Sharman, awesome division series games last week. Some good football.
Some really good football. I mean, paying attention to the amount of good football we're talking about.
And you know what? I think the division series, like last week, those games are usually the best games of the playoffs, in my mind. You know, I know the championship games are what they are, the Super Bowl, but those division series games are usually like, usually crazy games come out of there. You know, either really good or overtime
games. Lopsided.
Yeah, like so.
Sometimes lopsided.
Sometimes, yeah. You know, we got one of those. You know, it happens. But, you know, for the most part, they're games that you're like, wow, this is good. This is it. You know, because sometimes the championship games, you know, they kind of, they become a blowout. I don't think we're going to see that this week. Not nowhere close to blowouts this week. But, all right. Before we get into the games, we got some news with some coaching. Let's get to the big one. Jim Harbaugh is going to the Chargers. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
In my opinion, that's a awesome hire. That's a different caliber coach than the coaches that they've been hiring lately. So I would say that is more of the type of coach we'd be looking for to steady the ship. Especially, under the circumstances, you have a kid that has immeasurable talent, and you haven't been able to kind of key on how to get his gameplay and all the yards and all, everything that he's been able to do in his young career, and kind of match it with what the team is doing to kind of take you to the heights of, you know, of the NFL. And that has a lot to do, in my opinion, with front office, but it also has a lot to do with the type of coaching that they've had. And the caliber of coach that Harbaugh is, in my opinion, what he did in the NFL the last time he was there, I think it kind of speaks to exactly what the Chargers need going forward. And, you know, let's see if Harbaugh is going to be able to swing this, because I think if he could marry this one pretty well, he'll have a special one on his hands.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, and we talk about the Chargers almost every year coming into the season. Oh, this team is going to do well. This is the year they make the playoffs. It's a strong team. They have a good roster. But something always happens with the Chargers, right? We always say Chargers are going to Charger, sadly. But, like, something always happens. And something has always been off, especially recently with Staley there as their coach. So I think you're right. I think this brings in a stability there, a different mindset. And I think they needed that, especially going forward, because they know, listen, you're in the same division as Patrick Mahomes. And we could say whatever we want. This year we were saying, oh, maybe they're on the downturn and all this kind of stuff. And look where they are, right? They're back in the championship game. They're not at home, but they're still in the championship game as usual. So they will figure things out. Whatever happens this year, listen, there are receivers we talked about, not great and all that, but they'll figure it out. You know, they're the Chiefs. They got Andy Reid. Maybe Andy Reid moves on at some point soon. You never know. But, I thought the Harbaugh to the Chargers made a ton of sense. And I think he did speak to them last year, if I'm not mistaken, before he went back to Michigan.
Sounds about right. I think I remember something like that, too.
This was probably something that he knows. Like, hey, there's a, like you say, like you mentioned about Herbert. Herbert is there. I mean, that's a, when you have the franchise quarterback, like how many major pieces, think about this for a second. If you have good coaching, a GM that knows how to build a roster, and you have your franchise quarterback, that's like 65%, 70% towards building a championship team. If you have those three pieces there, you have those three pieces, coaching, a GM, and the franchise quarterback. You're more than halfway to building, you know, I don't want to say championship team, but a playoff team. If you have those three, you're set. And the Chargers have that now. Well, I don't know who they're going to have as GM, but you would think with Harbaugh there. And the good thing, I'd see, I'm not a big proponent of bringing these college coaches into the pros, but obviously Harbaugh is different. Harbaugh has been to the pros already, been to a Super Bowl as a NFL head coach, championship winning, college coach, obviously. So he's a winner. So it's totally different. So I think, but when you bring in a coach from college, straight from college, that's where it gets murky a lot of times, right? Sometimes you get Jimmy Johnson, who, you know, comes in, Cowboys, great, three Super Bowls, whatever it was. My point, the point I'm trying to get at is with Harbaugh being in college, the last, I think he was in Michigan for 9 years now. He's basically been, you know, he's had his eyes on a lot of players that are in, that are going to be drafted this year, obviously. So he's got that insight that, you know, another coach wouldn't have, because he's been looking at these kids, you know, for the last couple of years, whether he was trying to get them to go to Michigan or playing against them, you know, watching film and all that. So I think that gives that a little bit extra edge to the Chargers now, you know, building this team with whatever they need, you know. So I think that's just an added piece with Harbaugh, on top of being a great head coach and a winning head coach. So I thought that was a, you know, an awesome hire by them.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome hire. You brought up one point. I just wanted to pull out pull the thread off a little bit. If there is something that is, if there is something that is negative, or could be negative, or possibly be negative about this, is the switch that you would need to switch on off as a coach from speaking to kids in college and to basically speaking to grown men and still being able to get your point across without being disrespectful. I mean, we've, again, you're talking about all the other things that college coaches suck at that disqualifies them as being NFL coaches. I say that's one of the main things. I mean, be speaking to a young man that has no children, that isn't married, hasn't played pro ball before, it's easy in a certain way. You know, you have a certain way or a certain leeway you have. Speaking to a grown man, you can't, you know. So there's so much that goes into that. So I'm again, listen, I am not saying that it's going to be a negative thing, because this guy has a brother that's been coaching the NFL for the past, I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that I'm thinking that this man would literally, you know, go back into the NFL and think that his way of coaching in college would suffice in the NFL. So I'm just saying that that's, you know, part of the conversation going forward.
Yeah, I agree. The good thing is, he's, you know, he's done it already.
Right? Yes.
From college to pro, back to college. Now I think he's better he's better adapted at it. He'll be better to be adapted to it rather than a college coach direct, you know, with no NFL experience. You know, that's
agreed.
He's got that experience. He's been there, done that. But also, I think that's why, you know, they say a lot, he kind of wears on you. You know, like his way of coaching and all that, because he's definitely different than any coach out there. So, and that's why I think after 3-4 years, I think players are like, all right, you know, this kind of corny shtick is not really for an adult, like you're saying. But for college, yeah, it's great. 3 years, 4 years, you're gone anyway, so it won't matter. But I still think no matter what, this is a great hire because the guy is a winner. Simple. He's won at every level. He's won everywhere he's gone. So I think it's a great hire. Another interesting thing, Fangio stepped down in Miami. And Miami's letting him go because he wants to be closer to his family in Pennsylvania. So they're linking it to Philly. They're saying it's basically a done deal that he's going to be in Philly. Well, what are your thoughts there?
Interesting. Curious, even. I mean, would you say that if I told you that there was probably a little bit, I don't know, because his head coach is 4D brand new internet age type coach with, and not only is he young and has the young view of things or the 2000s view of things, but he's also like incredibly innovative and always looking for new ways to do things the new way. And Fangio is like almost a fossil. He's been running defenses for a long period of time, and he's basically kind of been doing the same thing for the longest. To me, that's yeah. In reality, you know how people like to say yin and yang. I don't think that's yin and yang. I think that's yin and yank. because you know, I think those conversations maybe rubbed him raw. Maybe as an elderly guy that has been doing it a certain way for so long, you know, you ask your coach, you know, your head coach and an offensive coordinator to kind of marry things with the way you do things on defense. And unfortunately, he doesn't kind of, his style is not that kind of style, you know?
Right.
So probably that's what happened. Probably the whole situation with what's his name, the head coach in Miami.
Oh, the Miami head coach.
Yeah, his name slipped my mind for a minute, but maybe that's the whole situation with him.
McDaniel.
Yeah, right. McDaniel. Yeah. maybe I'm not saying they butt heads. I'm just saying that. It was kind of a tough situation for the elder head coach to deal with, something, you know, he probably didn't see coming, you know, and it kind of just rubbed him raw, and he wants to go to a better, a more suitable situation for him. It just kind of, it's odd to me in a lot of ways, the way that went down. And there was no kind of heads up. Like, you know, there's whispers of things in the NFL. Nothing. That came out of the blue.
And he did pretty well this year too for Miami.
Agreed. He did
very good, actually. Top five, I think, in the league. Top, you know, whatever. But yeah, and if they go to Philly needs. I'm still shocked Sirianni's there, you know, because they cleaned house. Both coordinators are gone. I'm still shocked Sirianni's there. So that's to me is interesting on its own, but. We'll see who they go for OC now. They were talking to, I think, Cliff Kingsbury.
I heard about that one.
I don't know how much I like that either, because it didn't work so well in Arizona. You know, maybe he's learned a lot since then and going to try different things, but his offense did not work there. You know, it works great in college, but that's a college, you know, college is great because he could go to like any of these big colleges, right?
Well, the crazy thing, not to cut you off, I'm sorry about that, but I just wanted to make a point about what you said before that, about his offense not working. That offense had to be specialized completely. He had to run an offense for an incredibly short quarterback that has a specific set of skills, right? And from what we believe with the stories that leaked out of that organization, somebody that really didn't like to study. So, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that the situation is, you know, just because it's the Eagles is going to be better. I think Hurts is a better caliber of quarterback to deal with what he would want to deal with, or what he would throw his way, basically, or what he'd be able to implement would be easier, in my opinion. So, again, not that I'm a proponent of hiring this guy, because there are too many coaches in the NFL that are actually, you know, that has actually, you know, worn the stripes of being OCs or have paid their dues, that they just don't get jobs. And it's sad that some of these young guys that are quote unquote up and comers keep filling in those roles, and they keep falling on their faces, and people keep hiring them over and over again.
Right. Yeah, it's true. That's why it's just an interest. I guess they're trying to change the offense there as well, because their offense was very stale last year. And the OC there, Johnson, was actually good friends with Hurts. So that's why I they needed to get rid of him. But I wonder if that's going to affect the relationship with Jalen Hurts going forward. You know, you got rid of this guy who, him and, you know, Johnson and Hurts have been friends for years, you know, going back to college, even before college, in high school. So there was a connection there. It wasn't working, obviously, especially the second half of the season. But I wouldn't be shocked if Hurts is not happy about this, because I've seen some of the interviews he's had since the season ended, and he wasn't exactly saying, yes, I love Sirianni. You know, he wasn't totally behind him. You know what I mean? Mm. How some guy, you know,
trouble in paradise.
Right. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. That's why I was surprised he left Sirianni. I don't know. Just something doesn't seem right, what's going on in Philly, but we'll see. You never know.
We'll see. I mean, they've somehow snatched Super Bowls out of the jaws of nothingness. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what they're able to do. Roseman has done a hell of a job. I'll tell you something, man. He's been one of the better GMs in the NFL for a while now. So
definitely.
What do we say?
Yeah. And this offseason, they got a lot of work to do, because there's a lot of changes there. So we'll see what happens. And with the Jets, I mean, listen, if you've heard our conversations we've had the last couple of weeks with good friend James Wighouse, Lee Valentine, Valentin, excuse me, we dug into the Jets, right? Jets.
Yeah, and we
tore the Jets inside and out.
We forgot to mention Scott Mason.
Scott Mason, excuse me. Right. 3 weeks. Yep. The last 3 weeks, we have totally gotten inside the Jets, outside the Jets. We've reviewed the season. We've kind of previewed the upcoming offseason. Nothing really could happen major until, obviously, after the Super Bowl, when the season ends. So so basically, we're in like a holding pattern with the Jets, right, with every team. While the playoffs are still going on and the Super Bowl has to be played. But, you know, at least we have an idea, I think, of what the offseason is hopefully going to be, right? Rebuilding the offensive line, we said that's going to be, you know, so tough, because we got to find two starting tackles. Even if we move Vera Tucker out to a tackle position, I know we've kind of talked about that a little bit. I mean, it's going to be so hard to rebuild that offensive line. Can it be done? Absolutely. It's been done all the time. It's just that our guy has not gotten it done for the years he's been here. So, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be
like you said, we've kind of beaten the dead horse and kind of looked at this team inside and out in the last 3 weeks. the situation for me, I think there were rumors out there that they were talking to former Eagles running back and running backs coach. Which team that was he? Was he the for the Panthers? He was the running backs coach.
Wasn't he with the Lions?
What? No, it wasn't the Lions. Was he with the Lions? He wasn't with the Lions this year.
Not this year, right? No, last year he was. This
Yeah,
year,
he was with the Panthers this year, I think.
Panthers? Okay.
I mean, apparently our Ambry, who is the Jets, who was the Jets running backs coach, left. We don't know if he was fired. What the deal was? Apparently, they didn't. That's the way the story was brought to us. It wasn't like he was fired. It was on kind of an amicable split. But they're looking to add to their coaching staff, which kind of makes me feel a little happy about it because it seems like they actually sat down and looked at the tape and actually had honest conversations about tweaking a lot of things that happened this year. And they're actually going out to fix them. You know, that's what that as a fan, that's my view of the situation. I could be completely wrong, but I'm hoping that that's what they're doing, that they actually sat down and looked at this team and honestly, you know, figured out what they need. And I'm hoping that that means that there are going to be some slight changes to what we saw this year or last year, which would propel an Aaron Rodgers-led team to do better in the NFL next year instead of just, you know what I mean? It's, man, but we will spare no more conversation because trust, we have so much to talk about going forward when it comes to the Jets. That yeah, this is just the beginning. Well, we're gonna give it a little break this week.
Yeah, no, definitely. We're gonna, yeah, because the last 3 weeks we dissected that team so much that I think we can't do it anymore. And listen, in the next couple of weeks, we're gonna get back into the Jets and get into the off season, the draft. We're gonna be talking about some of the draft, about each position in the draft, and we're gonna get into all that like we do every year. So definitely hang tight. But for now on, but for now, just. Starting now, we're just going to get back into the games that happened last week. Like we said earlier, some really good games, starting off with Houston and Baltimore. I know it ended up 34-10, but I mean, before we get into the game itself, I think Houston this year and what they did in the playoffs up until this weekend showed you that this is a team that's just scratching the surface, just starting out, and they're already a playoff team. They're already a division winner. I mean, this team is going to be a team to be reckoned with for the next few years easily, with CJ Stroud leading the way. The GM, all he has to do is just keep building this team towards a Super Bowl, because they're almost there already. You could see they need a couple of pieces here and there, maybe on defense, offense, another weapon on offense, another here, another there, but they are so close, and they're young, and they're just getting started. So we're seeing the beginning of it. Could be a long run for the Texans being a very good team here. And I think just hanging in, you could get into the, with the rest of the game on how it went, but just them hanging with the Ravens for close to three quarters, that showed a lot. The Ravens are, arguably the best team in the league. Or they are the best team in the league. And they hung with them for almost three quarters in Baltimore. This wasn't in Houston. This game was in Baltimore. So, and now you can get into the game. You can tell us how it went.
Yeah. I thought that as much as the score was close, I think the approach by the Texans in a lot of ways, the the things, because remember they played earlier this year, so there were certain adjustments that needed to be made, and they made early the what they thought their early game plan was for the Ravens. So basically, it was the correct move in a lot of ways. That's what kind of slowed the Ravens down at first. But I think the indication, in my opinion, because I remember texting you at some point that it seems to me like the Texans stepped up in weight class. It was almost like that nervous tick. That's why they had so many of these unforced errors, where they had, I think, seven penalties at some point in the first half and the first quarter, not even the first half. It's because they could feel it. You could tell the difference. If you play a really good team and a great team, you could tell the difference. And to me, they hadn't played a team like that all season. Even the Ravens that they played early in the season is not comparable to the Ravens they played last weekend. So there was a lot of mistakes. I think for the first time all season, their youth kind of leaked out a little bit. Even a lot of the mistakes were made by players that has been in the NFL for a minute, and that was kind of crazy to see. Even their center was making unforced errors. It just seems like they had just reached the peak of of the season, and there was nothing else they could do. And the surge of the Ravens was coming; they could feel it. And that's exactly what happened. It's to me, paying attention to this game, I thought that's what it was. It was almost like at any moment the dam would break. And that's exactly what happened. I think they stayed close as they could for as long as they could, and it broke open, and that's what it is. But kudos to the Texans for coming this far, like Chris said. But if you are not aware of what this Ravens team is, you need to get aware real quick, because they're great. They're incredibly talented, incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? They're introspective is the word. They have a deep understanding of who they are and what they want to do. That's basically what, when I look at the every play they ran, in my opinion, fits what they do. It's they stay within themselves. They don't try to do anything other than who they are, or try to be anything other than who they are. And that authenticity, in my opinion, is the reason why they're incredibly dangerous. They on defense, it's just what the Ravens are. We've known for years the caliber of defense or defenses that the Ravens have been able to spawn. It's a tradition at this point. You just happen to get guys and you go, well, this guy is a Raven, right? That when they drafted you, like, well, yeah, that's a incredible fit. And Chris and I had this when their safety, the now Pro Bowl safety that they have, was coming out. There was a conversation online about this kid and how good he is. And I remember people saying that this, because he was tagged at first as a, once in a lifetime type safety, right? And then little by little, these little conversations started to come up online about, is it safety? There's nothing special about a safety. He's not that good. You could get a safety anywhere, but you can't get a tight end. You can get a wide receiver. You know what I mean? And over again, people that were in the know kept saying over and over again that there's something about this kid. And the one thing that kind of stuck out to me back then was how multiple he was, right? Yes, there was questions of his coverage skills, right? But if you're not gonna ask him to do that, and you're gonna ask him to just run, That's all they ask him to do is run. And he does that really well. Why? Because he ran what I think he was clocked on a sub 4.4. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? With the length of the arms that he has and how tall he is and how athletic he is. What they ask him to do falls directly in his wheelhouse, and he is an incredibly dangerous player because of it. I don't think his style of play would fit too many places. That's again why I said that he's basically a born Raven, and you could see it in a lot of other guys, like the kid, the Madubuike kid, the interior defensive lineman. I mean, relentless moto, in my opinion, with a skill level that's still growing. You know what I mean? That's the crazy thing. So the Ravens are a scary, scary team. And we'll talk more about what that means for who they're playing next. But yeah, it was to watch the evolution of those young players on defense, and also watch the evolution of Lamar Jackson, which I don't know if I've spent enough time talking about how I am incredibly happy for what I see, how he's transformed as a thrower of the football. Because when a lot of times when people say throwing the football, we're not talking about the action. We're talking about the understanding of where the ball is supposed to go and how or where or why, right? That's what quarterbacks do. They manipulate defenses into thinking they're going to do one thing and doing another, or basically dictating to the defense where that ball is going to go, no matter what. And he is growing into that. And that is an incredibly dangerous proposition for anybody in the AFC. Because if it's going to be a Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson AFC, everybody's going to have to catch up. Basically, that's what it is. Like, and how do you catch up when the two guys sitting on the top are so young and so good? It's crazy. They're so young and so good that they're almost, you know, once in a lifetime type players. You don't beat those guys. In the history of the NFL, whenever a once in a lifetime player comes around, he sticks around for a long time.
Yep.
You know, and that's a scary proposition for fans like us that are Jets fans looking to win a Super Bowl. If we got to win the AFC, we got to go through these two.
Oh, yeah. And then some. And there's other teams.
Yes. And there's other guys. Yeah.
And you know what? And I think with Lamar, not just that he improved, and he definitely improved as a passer, obviously, in the
yes.
Todd Monken system. I think this year, he came in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, right? Because remember, this offseason, he went out there as a free agent. Nobody talked to him. Nobody. And yeah, Baltimore most likely was going to match any offer that he got. I get that. But you're going to tell me no team decided to, you know, not even talk to him. Not even say, okay, you know what? Let's put an offer on the table for this guy. Maybe it's an offer that Baltimore goes, whoa, that's a little too much, you know? And maybe they back off and they say, you know what? We'll take those two first round picks and we'll turn them into whatever.
Hey, Chris, I heard someone say something. I wanted to pass this to you earlier. But it would be nice to hear your answer on here whilst we're recording, right? Someone said, I can't remember exactly who it was, but it was one of those prominent talking heads on somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Basically accused the NFL of collusion when it comes to Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah.
And listen to how he said it. He said that the reason teams did not go after Lamar Jackson is because basically the Ravens tagged him as theirs, so to speak. Like, that's my guy. I'm having an argument with him right now.
Right.
He ain't yours. Don't come sniffing around. Right?
Right.
Plus, under the circumstances, what I'm talking about now is not just under any circumstances, under the circumstances of the money he was asking for.
Right. One of
Because they're right, because they're saying that especially in the wake of what happened with the Browns and what's the kid's
Deshaun
name?
Watson, they gave him a fully
And
guaranteed
right.
and he wanted
Under
that.
those circumstances, the Ravens were basically speaking for the rest of the teams in the NFL other than the Browns,
Right.
saying, "Hey, listen, I'm having an argument with my guy, and the argument we're having is if I'm going to give him a stupid contract. I'm not doing it. And hey, guys, we ain't doing it." Basically, that's what the Ravens were saying, and everybody was going, "Yeah, most definitely, we ain't doing it."
Right.
That's the reason why none of the teams came sniffing around. Basically, if they did, they would basically turn the situation into whoever it was that was going to have to pay Lamar Jackson, would basically open the can of worms even further.
Right. And they don't want to be that guy.
And exactly. And that's and but that's collusion, in my opinion, though,
Right. And
Chris.
I agree. I put it out there too. I did. I definitely put it out there on Twitter. We were talking and I put it out there. I said it's collusion. It's 100. Like, think about it. This guy, Lamar Jackson, okay, for a second, think about it on the outside. The guy is 26 years old. Talking
Oh
about
my God.
before the season started, he was 26 years old.
Oh my
Okay?
God,
He was
that's crazy.
27. He just turned 27. He's 27, a free agent. Quarterback, and we've been talking about the last couple of years how the quarterback position has died down, right? Like, there's not many great options. I would say half the league has a good quarterback, the other half, question marks at best, right? So, you're going to tell me a team like Atlanta, forget about our team, forget about the Jets, right? Because we had already made the move for, or we were planning on making the Aaron Rodgers trade. So, take us out for a second. But you're going to tell me a team like the Atlanta Falcons don't need a quarterback? Think about the Falcons this year with Lamar Jackson, how much better they would be. Right? So they didn't want to even talk to this guy. I understand. You don't want to give him a guaranteed contract. I get that. But you're not even going to talk to this guy and give him some kind of contract that maybe makes Baltimore think twice about it. And to add to this, on ESPN, one of their, I don't think it was this weekend, I think it was last weekend, when they were talking about Lamar Jackson and bringing up what basically what we're talking about, why nobody spoke to him in the offseason, tried to sign him, all that stuff. Not even speak to him, forget about offering a contract. Nobody even wanted to talk to him. Is Rex Ryan brought this up? He says, from people that I spoke to in Baltimore, meaning in the team, he said they were planning on not matching an offer to him.
I didn't hear this one. Are
Yeah.
you serious?
So I'm not, listen, I don't believe 100% of that because I think the team, depending on, obviously depending on the offer, right? Yeah, if it was a crazy whatever years, I'm sure they had a year in mind and money in mind that they said, okay, if they offer this, we're not going to match it. We'll take the two first round picks and, we'll start over. But I think if that's, any kind of truth to that, think about that for a second. If a team goes in there and offers him maybe not a guaranteed contract, but something what Baltimore ended up signing him for, you know what? They might have got him. And Atlanta, to me, Atlanta was a great example, right? Look at Atlanta. They needed the quarterback. And just think about their previous history. Think about when they got Michael Vick, when they first got him, not after what happened. But when they first drafted him, what that guy did to that team, to that franchise, to that city, how he lit that place up, and he became the player that he was before he got into his off the field problems. I mean, that's all they have to think about, right? And this and Lamar is basically the same type of quarterback, a running quarterback and all that. He obviously turned into, a great passing quarterback now, more than just a running quarterback, but think about what Vic did to that city, to that franchise when he was drafted and when, what he did before he got into his problems. Atlanta didn't think, wow, we could kind of do that again with Lamar Jackson. And they didn't even talk to him. So to go back to what you said, 100%, it's collusion. It's 100%. It's exactly what you're talking about. You are
because that's the only situation where nobody will talk to a player of that caliber at playing that age.
Right.
That's the only reason why.
You know what? If he was I'll give it to you. If he was any other position, I would say, no, I don't think it's collusion. But since it's a quarterback, and it's so, number one, it's so important. Obviously, the quarterback position is the most important position on the field, number one. Number two, there's so many teams that could use a quarterback right now. They still need a quarterback. You know, think about it. And this was, and we could even bring up the Jets too, right? Before they went for Aaron Rodgers, we were looking for a quarterback, you know, so.
And the situation was already what it was in Baltimore. It wasn't all clarified at the time of what exactly was going to happen, but if legitimately, right, nobody this was a legitimate situation where, you know, the whole thing didn't happen with the Browns or whatever, I think more teams would have came sniffing around. I think when the Browns did what they did, I think it put all those teams and their offices and franchises on high alert. Yep. And I can't tell you, or I don't want to accuse them of having conversations, but I thought that once that happened, the teams were like, what?
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Right.
Like, no.
Crazy.
And what? You're asking for that? Lamar, this is not happening. And guess what? Not only is it not happening here, it's not happening anywhere else. And you don't believe me? Make a phone call. Yep. I dare you. Yep. Call somebody else. And nobody answered. Collusion.
Absolutely. 26. He's not like he's an older quarterback at the end of his career. This guy's in the prime of his life. And nobody spoke to him. And everybody will say, oh, because he had his mother, right? Was his agent. Okay. Yes. So what's the big deal? So anyway, that 100% it's collusion. So I agree 100%. And that's why I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Like, oh, nobody wanted to talk to me. Right. All right. No problem. So his focus now is to, you know, is to do everything to shove it in every other franchise's face that, oh, you didn't want to talk to me? Okay. So now I'm going to win my MVP again. My second MVP, by the way.
Yeah. And which could be another anonymous. I was going to say anonymous. What's the word I'm looking for?
Unanimous.
Unanimous.
Right? I guess. Yeah. I just what you're saying.
It would, you so. Know, another, it could be a comp, because let's be real, man. I mean, we could, listen, I understand some of the guys that we're going to talk about. I understand McCaffrey. I understand. But come on, man. Who's meant more to their team than him? No, I'm sorry. Nobody. Not even close. Talking about what they are, they embody what they are. He embodies what they are. It's a beautiful match made in heaven, in my opinion, which was, that's why, again, for the last time, I'm going to say it, collusion. Yep. Anyway.
Right. So anyway, they're, all right. So Baltimore is going to play, oh, guess what? Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. What do you think of that game? Because the Buffalo Chiefs game, it ended obviously horribly for Buffalo, missing the game tying field goal at the end. But what do you think of the game?
I think this one is on the Bills again.
Yep.
I mean, not just missing the field goal. The Bills did something that I didn't think that they could have done. They dominated the Chiefs at the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs weren't able to pressure Josh Allen that much. And on the other side of the ball, the Bills were able to pound the crap out of the Chiefs all game. All game. And like a fiend itching to go to their Josh Allen-led type offense, they went to it when their running game and physicality was winning the whole game. I don't understand what possesses an offensive coordinator and coaching staff to look at what the Bills had done for most of this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go away from it. Who does that?
Yeah.
You were winning the game. Why you stop being physical? Why you go back to the thing that you knew had been the bane of your existence, the reason why you haven't gone to any championship games in so long? It's because you want the quarterback to be the end-all, be-all. And I don't care what anybody wants to tell me. They could argue. You could argue with the wall if you want. Josh Allen ain't Patrick Mahomes, nor is he Lamar Jackson. Argue with the wall if you want. I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying that their talents are that far spread apart, but there is something that is different about the three guys that I'm mentioning. Josh Allen is, by now, let's be real, a turnover machine. He has to be managed. Mm-hmm. Because when you ask him to throw the ball 40 times a game, 50 times a game, guess what happens? He turns the ball over too many times. Patrick Mahomes could do throw the ball 40 times a game, and he don't turn the ball over. Lamar Jackson could do the same, and he does not turn the ball over that much. That's the difference. So you had a game plan coming in. The game plan is working perfectly, and you just veer left for no reason. In my opinion, that's why the Bills lost the game. They stopped running and being as physical as they were earlier in the game, and it cost them.
Yep.
It cost them, and it's sad to say that they put themselves in that position. But this is as far as my conversation goes, because I think Chris and I have spoken about the Bills and their flirt with victory, you know, for a while, and the reasons why. What surprised me the most, other than how the Bills dominated the Chiefs on defense, is that the Chiefs' offense was running that smoothly. They hadn't shown you this all season,
yeah,
at all. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, okay. So what, you're gonna just get in the playoffs and just flip a switch and all of a sudden you're the old Chiefs again after all season? Amazing. Fumbling, bumbling, stumbling, can't catch a ball. All of a sudden everybody's catching balls wide open, touchdowns being. I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. And the narrative on X or Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it, all of a sudden is everybody hates Patrick Mahomes. Everybody hates the Chiefs. You know why? They've all of a sudden entered into this realm of team where they, you know, when you start winning too much and everybody's like, well, the NFL's got it. They cheat for them. The refs are on their side. Right. You know, they always win. The and then, right. Yeah, it's the Patriots all over again. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know if you remember, there was the play where what's his name? Mecole Hardman.
Oh.
Fumbles the ball into the end zone, right? Because he's been a Mecole Hardman.
Right.
And on Twitter, I should have taken the pictures. It's like, how many people I saw tweeting, well, the NFL is not going to turn that over because it was the Chiefs. They cheat for them all the time. And they turned it over. I don't know. It's almost like you're wrong. All these people are wrong, almost.
The one thing that I'm seeing with Buffalo, and this year especially, I know they were running the ball more after they brought in Brady to be the OC, but for me, and this game really highlighted it, because they got away from the running game, was, okay, you want to start throwing the ball, okay?
To whom?
Where was Diggs?
Mm.
Diggs has, and here, just to give you a little bit of history with him, he has not had a 100-yard game since the middle of October.
Sheesh.
Like, what's going on with this guy? This guy is
no idea.
Stephon Diggs, not some other guy. And if he's not doing it, nobody's doing it on that team.
They got and the other kid, the Gabe Davis kid, was injured. He was out. So that wasn't happening.
And to be honest, he's really, you know, he's been kind of, you know, he's hot and cold all year.
He is. Good as big plays that he makes, he also disappears too. Yeah.
And like, he's got nobody else to throw to. So that's why it made even less sense to turn away from the running game and go into this, okay, Josh Allen, be Superman and win the game for us. Like, yeah. No. You got a winning formula. Don't change it. You know, and they went for it on that. They faked the punts and they tried DeMar Hamlin running the ball. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, especially where they were when they did that.
Yeah.
Going the ball and fourth down on their, what, on their 30-yard line or something like that, 30-something yard line?
So I'm not going to put it on Bass for missing the field goal. It should never
I agree.
It should have never got that one. You know, this team and Buffalo, they have to do some really major soul searching here because they know they got a winning formula with running the ball more, but you also got to get some receivers for this guy. If you want him to throw the ball and be a better quarterback and throw less interceptions, give him some receivers and find out what's wrong with Stephon Diggs. Is this guy just getting old and would, you know, like he's 30 years old now. I'm not saying that's old, obviously, but maybe he's
in football years, when you've been playing for as long as he's playing,
yeah.
he might be getting there. But he has turned into this mercurial individual, in my opinion, almost like a diva-like mentality where, you know, once things are not going right, he's throwing things and acting a fool. And people are out here trying to defuse the situation between him and Josh Allen. Which, in my opinion, once as a coach and a front office, you see any of that stuff happening with the kind of stuff your quarterback has to go through week in and week out in it with an NFL season, I think that's the least of his worries. You gotta defuse that, or you gotta get rid of the player that ignites that kind of issue, in my opinion. And with a draft coming up, that in my opinion is loaded with wide receiver talent, get the guy some people. Get him somebody. Yeah. Yeah.
Kincaid looks good, but he was a
free. Yeah, he does.
You know, you can't expect him to be, you know, this great tight end in the playoffs in his rookie season, right? That just doesn't happen.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like you said, yeah, he needs help, Josh Allen, in every way possible. So, all right, before we get to the NFC, what's your thoughts quickly on Baltimore, KC?
This is going to be quite a game, man. And it could go in so many different directions. Number one, I think we all understand what it means that these two players are playing each other. It's definitely, if you know, the straws that we would pull if we could choose who would play in the AFC championship game. It's the unknown is still the fact that we cannot believe the Chiefs are where they are. And news is coming down with injuries all over the Chiefs locker room, and we don't know if they're going to be 100%. And we know for sure that if you ain't 100%, you are not beating this Ravens team. They've shown you coming down the stretch that they will throttle any team. Even you could be hot, you could be strong, you could be whatever you are, they'll beat the crap out of you. So if you know that you're not 100%, a three-quarters version of you will stand no chance against them. So I think at this point, the more I look around and I read a lot of articles and listen to a lot of people around the NFL, everybody they're leaning towards the Ravens winning. But there is a kind of a tinge in the air about, do we actually go out of our, you know, and bet against Mahomes. You know what I mean? So because of that charged nature of this matchup, it'll be exciting. We're all going to be looking forward to it. And let's just hope that both teams are able to be healthy enough to give us an incredible showdown like we think it should be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like you said, if Kansas City is not 100%, you know, and Thuney might be out, he didn't practice today. The interesting thing with the Ravens, they might be getting Mark Andrews back this week.
Yeah, I heard that one. He was, but likely has, they haven't had issues at tight end now. Listen, I know that Andrews is cut above now. I'm not in no way trying to take away what he is. Likely has not disappointed or even looked like a weak link in any way. He has, in my opinion, played above and beyond what they thought they would be getting a backup tight end. I think he's an up-and-coming star.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. And it's going to be something to behold to watch whatever Monken comes up with for two tight end sets now. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, no, exactly. That changes a lot, right?
I mean, yeah.
Whew. So, yeah, I like Baltimore, too, winning this game. I mean, but listen, we can't – nobody can count out this Chiefs team. You just can't.
No.
Because when you count them out, that's when they beat you. So for us to say that, you know the team is saying that, too. Like, okay, this is the Chiefs. I don't care what they did during the season. It's the playoffs. It's the championship game. We know what Mahomes could do. So – So we'll see about the injuries going forward anyway with Kansas City. So let's get into the NFC teams. All right, so Detroit over Tampa, 31-23. I thought it was closer than I thought it was going to be a lot, you know, bigger score here. I didn't think Tampa would hang in with Detroit as much as they did, but well, what are your thoughts?
Baker Mayfield is a competitor, man. I think his spirit, his competitive spirit is probably what drove that team to where they were. But also, I think that style of play is also the kind of the issue for them at times. The Lions on offense, they get hot at points in games where they're so hot, there's nothing you could do about it. You know,
yep.
Goff is the Bucks linebacking core. That's pretty good, right?
Yep. Oh yeah.
And he was slicing them up. All these in-cut routes, being right, throwing the ball in like right behind their heads. Over and over and over again. That was crazy. And then the reason why they were able to throw the ball the way they did was because they were bludgeoning the crap out of them in the run game. Frank Ragnow, bad knee, bad ankle, got rolled up a couple times in pain. You could see it on his face. And the man is, man, he's coming back. Listen, I think he stepped in on the sideline for 1 second, you know, and just the heart of this team, of this Detroit team, is crazy. It's pretty entertaining to watch, not only as they have performed better than any Lions team has performed in maybe ever. At this point, because it's been for so long. But, if you've been watching football for a long period of time, the Lions are not synonymous with these kinds of performances. So it's almost like one of those, you know, tear-jerking movies, watching them succeed and watching these guys that had been with the Lions for a while, that had been part of the losing and for so long, actually perform and help their team, you know, kind of make a run here. You know, this is not really a Cinderella thing, because they'd been performing really well for the last couple seasons now. So to me, it's just a combination of a lot of hard work on their from their front office, ownership, and coaches to get them where they are. And it's paying a ton of dividends, in my opinion, with not only, of course, it's awesome that they're winning, but they're winning in a certain way with a certain type of individual that kind of that's synonymous with the area, with Detroit, the hard nose, you know, kind of attitude, you know, never say die, you know, we're gonna, you know, we're coming to do what we're doing it, and we're doing it working hard, you know. So it was a happy thing for me to watch them perform the way they did and play the way they did. It's been like that all season watching them play like that. So it wasn't something new, but to the heights that they were in, you know, knowing that their next stop is the NFC Championship, I was incredibly happy for them to watch. And I was impressed with, I mean, the Lions quarterback, when he went to the Super Bowl the first time, we could say, I mean, hey, maybe this man, it was some kind of fluke, right? Like, apparently it's not, because look at where he is again. He's not too far away from a Super Bowl. You know, so I don't know, man. I'm pretty ecstatic for the Lions fans.
Yeah, and I'm watching the game. I thought the same thing, like how hot and cold that offense could be. And the one thing, I even texted you, I'm like, why don't they give the ball to Gibbs more? Like, why don't they get him the ball more?
I mean, actually, when you said, when you texted that to me,
right,
that's as soon as you texted that to me, they did it. And he scored a long touchdown.
I don't understand. I mean, this guy is, he's a game breaker. Get him the ball more, whether it's running the ball or throwing it to him, something. Just get the ball in his hands and let him work. I have nothing against Montgomery. I think he's a really good running back too. But to me, he's that grinding running back, you know,
yes.
like the tough yards and all that. And you need that. But Gibbs should be getting so many more carries. He only had 9 carries in that game. 9 carries for 74 yards. And we're talking about a close game. And I think that's a guy you got to get the ball more to. 9 carries for 74
Not
yards.
Not enough.
Four catches he had for 40
that's
yards.
That's crazy. Yeah, you know, like, if you're not getting him the ball by running the ball, get him to throw him the ball, for heaven's sake.
Just get the ball. Yeah. He'll make something happen, you know. So that was that. And like you said, Tampa, give them a lot of credit for getting to where they are. And Baker Mayfield, whether he signs with them or somewhere else as a free agent, this guy's he made himself some money with this season for sure. And then the other game, San Fran, another good game. San Fran, 24-21 over Green Bay. Green Bay hung with them. I think the big thing was early on, Debo going down with the shoulder issue. He didn't practice today, but they are saying he's trending towards playing this weekend. But there's no guarantee, but we'll see. I'm sure he'll be out there. What was your thoughts about the game?
I was incredibly surprised at how the 49ers played this game. What Green Bay showed me, in my opinion, is look out, because this is not one player. You could have the conversation of what love is if you want, but I'll tell you one thing: look at the players that make up this roster, for heaven's sake. They're all incredibly young players.
Yep.
On defense, everywhere, right? And they're just incredibly talented. Like a ton of guys that just good at what they do.
Yep.
You know, and it's crazy that they have wide receivers that basically led them in receiving that was not catching the ball. And they were still in the game. How is that possible?
Hmm.
That's how talented they are. They're so talented. And Aaron Jones is, man, sometimes we spend so much time mentioning other players that we like let it slip, or we kind of let it slide, you know, for players like him. He's a specimen, man. He is not scared of anything. for a smaller, slighter running back, for him, the type of physicality that he brings in his running game is crazy. And he has the speed and the athleticism and the cut on the dime and all that. He is a world-class running back, in my opinion, up there with some, with the best of them. And he, when he's going, he gives them a shot. And the maturation of Love as the QB is going to be, is going to, I mean, it's going to uplift the Packers to being an issue in the NFC for time to come if he stays healthy. Yeah. And it we got to say it again, man. How in the hell is the Packers drafting we don't know how far Love is going to be, but from what he showed this year, he's no slouch.
Yeah. I think they're smart in not only just finding the right guy, but also taking their time with these guys, right?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, that was perfect. You draft him, you know, a couple years before that, you know, the other guy is going to get ready to go. Brett Favre was getting ready to leave in a couple of years. Okay, so draft Rodgers. They got lucky. He fell to them in that draft. And Brett Favre, they got in a trade originally with Atlanta, but they didn't start him right away either. So to me, like, they just do things the right way. And if, I wish, you know, maybe things wouldn't have worked out differently, but I wish Wilson didn't start right away for us. Maybe, you know, maybe if you give him a year playing behind somebody, you know, maybe he could have progressed better. I don't know, but we'll never know at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is the right way to do it, you know, but
yeah,
you have to start somewhere, right? You have to have the right.
That's the thing. So. They were able to start right. They were able to get the starting point, and that built everything else. They were able to do the smart move after the fact, because a lot of what happens after when Aaron Rodgers gets when Brett Favre was drafted was the fact that even if they knew they had a Hall of Fame type quarterback, they went out and drafted a young man to sit and learn at his feet. That is incredible insight, in my opinion, which a lot of franchises don't do. So they've paid their future outlook has paid dividends again, being able to draft Jordan Love, and he's looking like the next up and coming thing. And not only that, but I think they've learned their lesson and they're building around him and providing talent for him to draw strength from. So that's awesome for them. For the 49ers, I'm worried.
Mm.
I know that Brock Purdy was able to, when needed the most, he was able to actually make a few throws here and there. But that's not enough, man. That's not enough, because I promise you, that their defense didn't play well either, in my opinion. So you're taking one of the best teams we had seen play in the last couple years now, and they've come to the pinnacle of everything, right? This is where they've wanted to be for the longest, and now they're playing their worst football. That's not good.
No,
you know, and the worst thing about that kind of football, in my opinion, it becomes. It's almost like a stain, like a, you know, almost like a disease. It just kind of spreads.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know, now they're having injuries and you don't even know if Debo is going to play. And you're like, does not look good, man. And the Lions are trending in the best way. They're playing their best ball, playing their best defense. You know what I mean? Everything is trending upwards. And for the 49ers, in my opinion, it's not. And it will be very interesting to see what happens next, man. There's too many trends with, as much as I love Kyle Shanahan, you know that he's one of my favorite play callers. At some point, you got to explain why your teams have never, not never, but they're, what is it, 1-30 when they're behind?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, man. Listen, you gotta explain why that is, because that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You got to be able to come. At where you're standing right now in the playoffs, this is when you have to be able to pull what the magic trick. You know what I mean? You have to be able to withstand the storm and all that other stuff. You know, all that coach speak. You have to be able to do it.
Right.
You can't just say, "Oh, I'm gonna take the lead. I'm gonna ride the wave all the way to the end." That's not how the playoff works. The team you're playing next, man, listen, they're gonna fight you tooth and nail,
yep.
And they might bite your kneecaps off. So,
oh yeah,
you know, I'm just saying, you better bring your A game because you might be going home.
And I tell you, San Fran, just watching that game, like after Debo went down,
they changed.
It's a totally different team. So,
yep.
The one thing that's going to help San Fran is they're going to go into this weekend's game, obviously with a game plan without Debo, just in case if he can't play. I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but I'm sure they're going into it. Okay, if he's 50-50 to play, let's just say, then okay, we have to go into a game plan without Debo. And I think that's going to help them because when he went down, it just seemed like, not that they didn't know what to do, but it was like, this is the 49er team that dominated everybody this year on offense. It just didn't look that good without him. So
yeah, Debo changes a lot of things for you, man. If you have him, on the field as a defensive coordinator, you have to pay a lot of attention to him. That makes a lot of the reads for the quarterback easier. Because eyes dart away from, you know, a lot of the targets, because guess what? You can't keep your eyes on Ayuk all the time if Debo is in the game,
right?
You know, and you know Kittle's in the game. So you're looking at these guys and you're kind of trying to measure them as the most dangerous guy. And you know what Debo could do for you because he could catch the ball and go all the way. Most of the time, that's what you're scared of, right? So you're prioritizing him first, then maybe Ayuk second or with Kittle come join close third. But when Debo is not in the game, you only have to worry about Ayuk. And as good as he's been, let's be real, the kid has brought his game to an incredible level, in my opinion. I think he's become a very good wide receiver. But in my opinion, he's not on Debo's level when it comes to threatening a defense. And I think it just changed. The reads just change, and the way defenses react to the offense changes when he's not on the field. And it puts it a little bit more onus on the quarterback, creating more tight windows, more tight throws, which he's just a little bit unsure of. And that is like blood in the water for NFL defenses, in my opinion.
And it's amazing. Like when you think about the 49ers, even without Debo, they still got tons of talent on offense. It's not like we're talking about, right? It's not like we're talking about a team that, like, oh, if they lose him, they got nobody. They have a lot of talent.
Not
some team without him. Whether it's Purdy, it's just, they're just not. But like you said, he takes eyes off of everybody else. So those guys start to find the open spots more without, you know, with him on the field. So even if I think he plays no matter what. He just may not be, he may be more
100%.
Of a decoy. Right? Do you think that?
Yeah. Did you see what the injury was shoulder wise?
Some with the shoulder. They were saying it was the same injury that he had earlier in the season when he missed three games, but it wasn't as severe, they're saying. So, you know, they actually, you know, Shanahan, he's going to be as cryptic as possible. He just said, no, he just feels a lot of pain. So he's just in a lot of pain. So obviously his legs work. So that's why I think no matter what he's playing, it's just that he doesn't get the ball as much as he normally would. You know, he might be more of a decoy than more of the main target on offense. So let's get into the game. Detroit, San Fran. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I kind of let it out a little bit. I think the 49ers, for them to win this game, they got to turn back into the 49ers before the clock struck midnight. They whatever they were before the playoffs started, they need to go back to that for them to win that game, in my opinion, because what could happen in this game is what you said, Chris. The Lions could get smoldering hot at any second. And within that time period that they're hot, that you know, they basically could throw two, three touchdowns back to back to back. And then all of a sudden they're leading you by two TDs, and you're like, wait, what? How'd that happen? That's basically what it is. What could happen. And again, if they go down to the Lions, the fact that the 49ers and that kind of their offense is just not, they have not shown in history to do well playing from behind would be a big shot for the Lions, in my opinion. So I am not, I was sure before the season started that the 49ers was going to the Super Bowl. Actually, that was my pick from the NFC. But as we stand right now, I am not as sure. Watching what the Lions could do, in my opinion, and what how worried I am about what the 49ers could do. So it'll be interesting game. But I can't go out on a limb and say the 49ers win going away.
Yeah, no, I don't feel, I feel exactly what you're saying. I don't feel that comfortable with San Fran at all coming in. They almost lost against Green Bay, and now you got a Detroit team, like you said, that are trending up, playing their best ball offensively. I just the one thing that bothers me with Detroit, and I'm sure it does with you, is their defense. Their defense is going to give up a lot of yards and a lot of points, but their offense can score. So that's to me is going to be the key. They have to put up points. If they don't, if they start off slow, like we were saying about how hot and cold they are, if they start off cold and San Fran puts some points up on the board, they're going to be in trouble because they're going to be.
Yeah, I think it works both ways, what I said earlier. But I think what works well for the Lions is that I think as filled with holes as their defense could be, I think they're better constructed as a team that likes to pin their ears back. So if they're up two scores on you, I think they do best. Well, like that, when they could basically let the hellhounds out. I
Oh yeah,
think that's
they're up. Yeah.
I think that's where they go. I think if you're shooting, going on a shootout with them where they're going blow for blow, or you go up a couple scores on them or something like that, I think the game could run away from them.
Yeah.
But I think but the reason why we're saying this is because we just haven't seen them play that type of football yet. And in my opinion, they're capable of doing it. They just haven't been able to pull it together. The other side of the when we're talking about the 49ers, we're talking about a team that seemed for whatever reason not playing to the level that they were before. We're talking about a Lions team that's been playing better and better and better, even if it's in spurts. Right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's a better outlook. If you're growing, that's a better outlook. If you're kind of falling by the wayside, that's not good. And that's where my worries are, lie when it comes to the 49ers.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm with you with that.
Yeah.
But I think, listen, both games should be really good. I don't see blowouts here. And I mean, I hope Detroit wins. You know, just because we haven't seen Detroit in the Super Bowl ever. So it
Yeah.
would be good to have a different team out in there. But I think a lot of San Fran is gonna deal with Debo. Can he play? How much can he play? You know, is he gonna be used as a decoy? Is he gonna be used sparingly? Is he gonna be 100%? I don't think he's gonna be 100%, but it's so he means so much to that offense. And I personally didn't think he would. I thought even without him, because you could go, all right, we're just going to feed McCaffrey the ball. You know, just give him the ball 20 times and he'll probably score a couple of times easily. But he means so much to that offense. So if he's not 100% and he's not getting physical like he normally does. And I don't know if they're going to beat Detroit. I think Detroit has a chance, a very good chance of beating them. So we'll see. So that's it. We will find out who will be in the Super Bowl this year after Sunday. Will it be Detroit against Baltimore? Will it be Kansas City, San Fran again? Will it be San Fran, Baltimore? We'll find out. Anyway, thanks for listening and liking our show, sharing it all the time. We appreciate it. If you guys ever want to join us one day, hit us up on Twitter, at Liftoff Jets, at Grown Folk 1980 for Charmin, for myself, at CP7NY. Hit us up if you want to join us. We'll chat some Jets football or just football in general. If not, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys, and enjoy the game.